George Hamilton, Chief Constable, in with us this morning. Good morning to you, Sir George Hamilton.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Sir George. A title I'll never get, but sure. Why are you going? Why are you leaving?
Well, I've had a 34-year career in policing. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I suppose I feel like we've achieved some things and it's time to hand it on to someone else. And probably, to be honest, while I'm young enough and hopefully healthy enough to do other things as well. Not sure exactly what that's going to be yet, but...
You haven't revealed you're joining the Nolan Show? Our chief security correspondent?
Is that an offer?
Money wouldn't be enough for you.
And I did sign up for a 5-year contract. The policing board kindly offered me an extension, but it took time just to consider whether that was a good thing to do or not. I think for the organisation and for me, it's a sensible time for a transition.
But why? Because it's a big thing to leave a gig that you enjoy. So why? Like, was it a hard decision or had you made your mind up a long time before that?
It was a difficult enough decision because I love what I do and it's a huge honour to hold this position. However, there was no one big reason that tipped me into deciding to not extend my contract. It was probably an accumulation of small things.
Like what?
Well, things like the policing board has just recently reconstituted. There's going to be a new chair and vice chair appointed. Hopefully there'll be a new justice minister. We've just had a new director of public prosecutions. There's going to be a new ombudsman. A number of things were changing. I looked at what we had sought to achieve in my 5-year tenure because I wasn't ever really planning beyond that. That would be a bit presumptuous. Grateful for the offer of an extension, and most of that had been most of what was going to be able to be achieved had been. I wanted to go when my own energy was high. Is leaving the place, frankly, I think, in a better position than I found it, and. For a variety of those factors, it just seemed like a sensible time to move on.
Leaving the organisation, George, with Catholic recruitment falling back, currently 32% of the force, and the trend is downwards. That's disappointing, isn't it?
Well, this is the second time in 2 days people have used the term falling back. That's actually inaccurate. Catholic recruitment, Catholic representation within the service is higher now than it has ever been. But it's
still not 50-50.
It's not. And I have been very clear throughout my tenure that that's where I'd wanted to be. What we have done is our own projections, because we take this seriously and we genuinely want the organisation to be representative. We know that on the current trajectory of Catholic recruitment, if it doesn't change in a number of years' time, it will start to slip back. It's sitting at around 32%. We know that in 3 or 4 years' time, unless we can improve the application and the appointment rate of new Catholic officers, then that level of representation will start to slip back.
I see, just as we're speaking today, I've got to hurry this interview because I've only got 9 minutes with you, but I see that your former colleague, the Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, who of course was in the PSNI until recently, he's down the Garda now. This is just dropping in the Press Association wires. He is saying that additional policing will be needed to patrol the border in the event of a hard Brexit. I'll read this to you. He said it'll depend what type of Brexit we get. It'll depend on the threats that arise. He said the issue of organised crime, as tariffs diverge, there will be more and more opportunities then to smuggle over the border, and that will require a response. What's your view?
Well, Drew's a great friend of mine. I'm in close contact with him. But what he's saying there is what he and I have been saying since before the referendum, actually, that, you know, any differentiation in tariffs and customs and regulatory frameworks creates a stimulus for those that want to be involved in organised crime. And of course, if that's the case, then police will respond to that. And that
it's going to take a lot more resources, isn't it?
Well, yes, but I mean, we have this year had an extra £16.5 million added to our budget by the Treasury for exactly that reason, to allow us to prepare for this eventuality. I'm not saying it's an ideal outcome or a preferred policing outcome or anything like that, but the comments that the Commissioner are making, I endorse, and I would say that I have made those same statements to Northern Ireland Affairs Committee, the committee in Parliament on exiting the EU, and so on. So
I'm reading
ways that's it's stating what we've been stating for a few years
I'm
now.
I'm reading some of the copy here where he says we need to make sure the border is well resourced, moving resources there with armed support and roads policing. Do you see more armed officers on the border because of a hard Brexit?
No, well, of the extra monies that have been made available this year, and we would hope into next year for dealing with Brexit, we're putting that towards largely towards community policing in the border areas. We want to assure rural communities, border communities, that we're their police service. We're not going to be re-securitising anything. We acknowledge that if partner agencies are operating in the border area, if that becomes necessary for their enforcement or compliance checking role, that we would want to protect our colleagues. But there's no desire to move back to a border with the security apparatus and the infrastructure of the past.
Now that you're leaving, is this your last day?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow's your last day. Well, you're nearly gone, so you can be a little bit freer. Right? Are you a remainer or a leaver?
I'm not getting into that space. The job of policing.
Really?
The job of policing.
But you're not in it anymore.
Well, the job of policing is to look at the options and identify the consequences and implications. Now, actually, in doing that, you know, in remaining, the consequences, the implications were going to be the status quo. So we don't need to comment on that. So we end up commenting a lot on the leave consequences. And I have been accused, therefore, as sounding like a remainer because I'm identifying all these challenging consequences with leave. That's not the case, but we wouldn't be fulfilling our duty if we just buried our head in the sand and thought that everything could continue as normal with the leave option. And likewise with a hard border or a soft border, a deal or no deal, all of that, we've planned extensively for all of this. We will outline the consequences so that politicians can take that into account in the decision making. But you're not going to get me to put a remain or leave label on me while I'm a serving police officer.
All right, so you'll come back next week and tell us.
Well, we can discuss that.
We've covered on the programme over recent days extensively the £40 million possible bill that you face,
yes,
with the overtime payments. Are you apologetic to the officers who served under you who didn't get paid properly for the overtime they did while risking their lives in that overtime?
Well, we have a hugely committed workforce, and I've got the utmost regard for officers. We have acknowledged that the rules have changed over time and people are entitled to average overtime paid in their holiday, in their leave periods. And in fact, we've already...
The rules haven't changed, Sir George. The rules were always there. You just weren't paying it, and the court has clarified that you should have been paying it.
Well, no, that's... I disagree with you on that. And this is also a case where we're having to weigh up whether or not to appeal the court judgment, so I'm limited in what I can say. But what I can say, and it's factually correct, is that from April last year, we have been paying this overtime payment into holiday pay. And that will continue. That's a policy decision that's been taken. That's us compliant with the rules. There's a number of things in question here, but the main one is how far this reaches back, the retrospective nature of it. So the claimants are saying over 20 years, that's going to have massive repercussions, not just for policing, but for the entire public sector across Northern Ireland. It's going to have an impact on the Northern Ireland economy. There's a question about the reasonableness of that. We're taking legal advice on whether we just get on with that and leave it with the government to find the money for that, or whether to appeal that and get absolute clarity about what the position is.
If the PSNI had to find that £40 million shortfall, what would it do to policing in Northern Ireland?
Well, it will have an impact on visibility of policing, on service delivery and how responsive we are.
How much of an impact?
Well, I don't know that yet. But, you know, we have already taken out £150 million out of the baseline police budget in the last 5 years. I can't see, and maybe it's why it's time for a new boss, I can't see where there's another £40 million to come out without having a massive impact on service delivery.
I guess it's not just, though, about what a court determines. It's about the morality of this. If you're acknowledging that you're paying it since last year, have those officers not worked hard and risked their lives enough that you should take the decision, or your successor should take the decision? They deserve it.
Well, that's...
If they deserve it now, why didn't they deserve it 2 years ago? And three, and four.
Well, in
20.
In the rest of the United Kingdom, for example, the law was different. The rules as set by our local executive when we had one did not put any limit on the retrospective nature of this claim. I don't know why that's the case. That's for other people to answer. But in England and Wales and Scotland... there was a 2 year limit on that. So people identified, right, this holiday pay should be paid. Now, people have always been paid holiday pay, by the way. Let's get to be clear with this. This is about getting an average of their overtime payments built into their holiday pay. That's what this is about. But the rest of the United Kingdom, there was a 2 year time limit on the retrospective nature of this. In terms of use of public money, the money's going to have to come from somewhere. What would be reasonable? I felt that was reasonable. The provisions here did not allow for that. It was taken to the court, and the court agreed with the claimants that it should reach back 20 years. I'm respectful of the court. I need to either choose to appeal that ruling or else abide by it. And we're just in the process at the minute of taking advice around all of that. And when that decision's taken, I'm sure my successor will let you know.
I'm running out of time very quickly. You're a bad boy coming in here, giving me 10 minutes this morning, but sure, I'm sure you're a busy man. What are you going to do next? Like, are you going to stay within, the policing sphere? Are you wanting to do something completely different, or you want to put your feet up?
Well, I don't know. I want to do something else. I genuinely don't have anything else to go to at this stage. I don't want that. I want to take the summer and the autumn to work all of that out, to decompress and to make a decision. It's probably foolish to rule anything out, but I feel that this has been a wonderful job, running a big organisation, 10,000 people, £1 billion a year, all of that. If I wanted to keep being in that chief executive type role, I would have stayed with this job. So I've probably more decided what I'm not going to do rather than what I am. And I'll take a few months to just work all of that out.
What's your biggest regret?
It's probably the biggest regret is probably around the issues that I feel I had limited control over. We might have made our own mistakes along the way, but on the legacy issue, the unresolved, the lack of closure, the lack of justice, the unanswered questions for families and for victims, and also the impact that's first and foremost the most important thing. But sitting alongside that is the negative impact that unresolved legacy issue has on policing today.
And you take some responsibility for that, do you?
We've done our best with what we've got, but it is a regret that 5 years after I've taken office and I asked for it to be resolved within a few weeks, and then we had the Stormont House Agreement in my first 6 months, and everybody seemed to agree what needed to happen, and 5 years on, we're still waiting for it to be delivered. Now, I can't take responsibility for things that I don't have any control over. I think if you look at individual legacy cases, along the way, of course, policing is a human endeavour, and I can look back at things that we could have done better, or we dropped the ball, or we made mistakes, and that's a matter of regret. But actually, that's because policing is not equipped or resourced to deal with legacy, and the responsibility for that and for working out the new institutions for it rests with the government.
And I'm going to get sacked. I might be looking at a new job myself because we're way over the news this morning. But what do you say to the people of Northern Ireland as you leave your job, and what do you say to your colleagues and your officers?
Well, I say it's been a huge honour for me to have served as Chief Constable. To the people of Northern Ireland and to the officers, working together in partnership, I think we're in a good place. We've got crime down, we've got confidence up, we've got complaints down, and we're more representative and more diverse than we've ever been. And we've achieved all of that together with £150 million a year less. I'm pretty happy with that track record.
And you can reveal if you're a fan of the Nolan Show.
Couldn't possibly comment.
Sir George, thank you very much indeed.